Proverbs chapter 8, 1 through 21. The blessings of wisdom. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight, I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice. In verse 21, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Would you pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of wisdom, that, Lord, you know all things, and, Lord, that you are in control of all things. You're sovereign over our world here, over the future, Lord, and we should not fear. Father, grant us wisdom in you as we look to you for meeting our every single need, Lord. We know that wisdom is trust in you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in our lives to trust and obey you, Lord. That we would hope only in you and not in the things of this world. Father, we pray here this morning for wisdom to enter, but Lord, that we would see Christ more clearly this morning. We pray that you are with Brother Larry this morning as he preaches to us your word. Father, dwell amongst us here. Father, we pray for Ocean Park and in community, in the fellowship of community, Lord. We pray that we would gain many riches by one another, by worshiping you in spirit and truth, Lord. We pray, Father, that for those who are unable to attend, who are not with us this morning, be with them. Guide them by your Spirit, Lord, that they would see you, that they would trust in you more and more, and that their faith would be built up. In Jesus' holy name we pray. In the prayer of illumination. O God, make your word a swift word, passing from the ear to the heart, to the lip in conversation, that as the rain returns not empty, so neither may your word, but accomplish that for which it is given. Amen. And you may be seated. Larry, thank you for preaching to us this morning. Please come.
Good morning, Ocean Park. As Pastor Chris likes to say, I love you, but more importantly, Jesus loves you. And I'd love to start with a great illustration, one that would illuminate your heart and mind, but try as I might, I was unable to do that. So let's just get started straight into what we're going to talk about. So a few weeks ago, I shared that I'd like my time in the pulpit during Pastor Chris's sabbatical to be opportunities for us to walk alongside him as he explored how other Christians make room for the Holy Spirit in their lives and in their worship. So this week I'd like to return to the topic of the Holy Spirit. Last time I preached on the humility, how in both in the ways he leads and in the ways he submits, the Holy Spirit demonstrates model true humility for God's people to follow. This morning, I'd like us to turn our attention to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many titles throughout Scripture: Helper, Counselor, Advocate, Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Life, and that's just to name a few. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, he's also called the Spirit of Wisdom. For example, here's what Isaiah 11:2 says about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Messiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In the New Testament, Paul prays for the churches, telling them, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. In both instances, we see that the Holy Spirit imparts not only knowledge, but also wisdom. And while they're related, it's important to recognize that there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is facts, information, and skills you acquire through experience or education. Wisdom is the correct application of that knowledge for a given situation. Knowledge is recognizing that a tomato is a fruit because it has seeds inside it. Wisdom is recognizing that tomatoes have no place in a fruit salad. I was told. The moment we become Christians, we have access to the wisdom of God because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, lives within us. Indeed, the passage from 1 Corinthians that Mike read earlier told us the secret and hidden wisdom of God are revealed to us through his Spirit. But far too often, we fail to take advantage of this gift of God. And we find God's wisdom throughout the whole of the Bible. As 2 Timothy 2:2 says, navigators. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, proof, correction, and training in righteousness. But when most of us think of wisdom in the Bible, think of the book of Proverbs. And it's well. Is the mic keep dropping? This mic just doesn't like me. You like me, Mike? Okay, at least Mike Burns likes me. One day I'll get the mic right. Anyways, when we think of wisdom, we think of the book of Proverbs, and it's right that we should, because it is the central repository of at least four different authors and their thoughts and their perspectives on wisdom. And one of those is the second wisest man ever to live. Now, the first would obviously be Jesus, the Sunday school answer. But in second place is Solomon, who is King David's son, and he also ruled Israel at the height of its glory. Solomon ends the book of Proverbs by singing wisdom's praises in its first nine chapters. And so let's return to Proverbs chapter 8 and see what God, through Solomon, has to say about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Before I begin, I just want to make one thing clear. While Solomon personifies both wisdom and folly as women, he is not saying that the Holy Spirit is a female. He's simply using the poetic language of his time to convey the true beauty of wisdom and the false beauty of foolishness. And while I'll refer to both the Holy Spirit and Solomon's personification of wisdom, I also am not saying that the Holy Spirit is a female. The Bible makes it clear the Holy Spirit is a he. I'll do my best to try and be clear, but please extend me grace wherever you feel it's necessary. So in our passage this morning, Proverbs 8, 1 through 21, we'll see three attributes of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And instead of doing what Pastor Chris usually does, and I try to follow his lead, and giving you the main point up front, let's unpack it as we go through the text together. And once we do that, I'll also share some ways that we can access the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and experience these characteristics of his wisdom in our own lives. So let's return to Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 21, and see what God has to say to us this morning. So we'll return to verses 1 through 5 in a minute, but for now, let's skip ahead to verses 6 through 11. Wisdom declares, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare to her." So the first thing we see about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is valuable. And it really doesn't take much to understand why that is. Look at the characteristics wisdom embodies, then contrast them with the characteristics wisdom avoids in this passage. In verse 6, we see that wisdom's words are noble and right. They elevate one's character because they conform to what God says is true. Wisdom's words are exactly what Paul tells us to dwell on when in Philippians 4:8 he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." A wise person doesn't focus on the shadows that surround them. Instead, they set their attention on the light, which is the source of those shadows. They set their minds on the good things of God and seek to embody them in everyday life. In verse 7, we see that wisdom utters truth, that what wisdom says is accurate. Truth always stands opposed to wickedness. And yes, there are times where a wise person will get the facts wrong, but that's not necessarily wicked. What a wise person will never do under any circumstances is to speak or act against the truth of God. That is what wickedness is. Verses 8 and 9 tell us that wisdom's words are simple to understand. You don't need to look for a hidden agenda. There are no ulterior motives to be concerned about, no second guessing required, no knife to pull out of your back. What wisdom says, wisdom means. Sure, what wisdom says may not be easy to put into practice, but it is easily understood. So what does that look like for us? A wise person will never sink to deception or perversion to get what they want. They will never sell out others to get ahead. And they'll never backstab someone who's standing in their way. And once we consider the characteristics that wisdom embodies, we see how valuable wisdom is, because these characteristics are all about character. Wouldn't you want to surround yourself with people who exhibit this kind of character? Better yet, Wouldn't you like to be one of those people? So let me put it another way. What's the price that you would sell your character for? This is the Pink Star Diamond. It's the most expensive gemstone ever sold at auction, fetching $71.2 million in 2017. Would you auction off your character to own the Pink Star? This is a replica of the Koh-i-Noor Diamond, which is the centerpiece of the Queen Mother's crown in England. It's considered priceless. Would you trade your character to own it? The wisdom of the Holy Spirit embodies the character of Christ. This is the character we receive the moment we're saved. And so when Proverbs tells us that wisdom is more valuable than any gem, this is what wisdom is telling us. And saying that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is valuable is really an understatement. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit has infinite value and eternal value. So we'll find the next attribute of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in verses 12 through 16. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit is valuable and powerful. Wisdom is what rules nations. But unlike the characteristics of wisdom that we saw in verses 6 through 11, the characteristics in these verses are all morally neutral. Prudence is another word for shrewdness. Shrewdness, knowledge, discretion, counsel, insight, strength, all of these can be used for good, and all of these can be used for evil. But what distinguishes earthly wisdom from the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is found in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Early in Proverbs, we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The true power of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is found in the fear of the Lord. To better grasp this, we can again contrast the characteristics wisdom embodies with the characteristics wisdom avoids. In verse 13, there's a logical progression of the evil that wisdom hates. It begins with pride and arrogance, which despises and rejects God's authority. That pride and arrogance leads to the way of evil, which is just another way of simply saying embracing an evil lifestyle, which you then justify by corrupting and perverting your speech. Access to power makes us vulnerable to the temptation of pride and arrogance. And if we give in, we will exercise that power wickedly, mistreat those under our authority, and justify our actions with lies. In contrast, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit enables anyone in authority to decree what is just, to exercise their power in good and beneficial ways for everyone under their authority. Now you may be going, yeah, I don't rule a nation. I don't rule a city. But you do have authority. Fathers, mothers, you have authority over your children. Husbands, you're called by Christ to lead your wives as Christ loves the church. We're as fathers called not to exasperate our children. You have influence and authority in your college students, in your workplace, on your ship, in case any of my sailors are watching this online. You have authority. How you choose to exercise it will reflect whether you believe in the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, is how Jesus will ultimately rule this world. Let's look again at Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, Jesus, and a branch from his roots shall be. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, which we just learned wisdom has, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Again, characteristics of wisdom. And what does wise discernment look like when Christ rules the earth? He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and divide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. What we see in Isaiah 11 is exactly what we're told in Proverbs 8, 12 through 16. Not only is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit valuable, it's also powerful. And while it's awesome to know that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is both valuable and powerful, there's something even more amazing here. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit is obtainable. Notice that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is obtainable, obtainable. It's something that can be received. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit is not attainable, attainable. It's not something that can be achieved through effort or skill. And that's because this wisdom belongs to God. And it, like salvation, is a gift that he willingly gives. And like two breads and a piece of sandwich, or like two pieces of bread and a sandwich, Solomon begins and ends verses 1 and 21 with the truth of wisdom being attainable. So let's start with the top piece of bread, verses 1 through 5. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense." The wisdom of the Holy Spirit calls out loudly, raising her voice to be heard. Wisdom cries from the high places so that she can be heard. And wisdom stands in the most public of places, alongside busy roads, at crossroads where your destination is decided, and also at the city gates. Now for us, that may not mean much, but in Solomon's time, the city gates were the center of a city's life. It's where the city elders made important decisions. It's where business was conducted. You might remember the story in Ruth, where Boaz goes to the city gates to find the unnamed redeemer to see if he will redeem the land. And that is where the redeemer is. Because if you wanted to find someone, you'd most likely find them at the city gates. And so the wisdom is everywhere everybody is. And notice to who wisdom is crying out. I know, ladies, you're probably tempted to nudge the guy next to you when it says, "Oh man, find wisdom." But wisdom also cries out to the children of man, male and female, without regard to ethnicity, socioeconomic standing, political affiliation, or any of the other labels that we use to divide ourselves. It also doesn't matter what your previous experience is with God's wisdom. If you're simple, which simply means that you're naive and new to this whole idea of wisdom, wisdom calls for you. If you're a fool, someone who's rejected wisdom's call in the past, wisdom is calling out to you as well. The overall image here is one of wisdom making her call so public that as many people as possible will hear it. No one can say, I was never told, or I didn't get that text. The other slice of bread in Solomon's wisdom sandwich is found in verses 17 through 21. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield better than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. So on one hand, we see that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is available everywhere and to anyone. On the other hand, only those who love God will obtain it. And that love is marked by a relentless pursuit of God. Indeed, God promises time and again throughout Scripture that those who sincerely seek Him will find Him, and that He will bless those who will seek Him earnestly. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Jesus himself in Matthew 7 tells us, ask and it will be given to you. And really in the Greek, the ask, the seek, and the knock are ongoing. So it's better translated, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps asking receives. And the one who keeps seeking finds. And the one who keeps knocking, it will be opened. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who keep asking him? And if we haven't gotten it by now, in James, this is tied directly to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. God doesn't. He doesn't shake his head. He doesn't go, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is obtainable by those who ask out of their love for God. And Proverbs 8 also goes on to tell us that we can tell when we've received that wisdom. The first way we can tell is found in verse 18. We experience riches and honor, enduring wealth and righteousness. Now before you get concerned and be like, why was this church in the Gospel Coalition listing? I'm not about to preach a sermon on the prosperity gospel. One thing to keep in mind is that the book of Proverbs is filled with principles, not promises. In general, someone who is wise is going to do better in business than someone who is foolish. We are fallen people living in a fallen world, and under attack by a fallen angel. Scoundrels sometimes get ahead through wicked means. Righteous people exercise tragic circumstances that rob them of their money and energy. drug cartel bosses, get wealth, but are honored by no one. Besides, I think Proverbs 8:18 has its sight set a bit higher than just the riches of this world. Consider the phrase, enduring wealth and righteousness, and recall what Jesus tells us in Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Doesn't sound very enduring to me. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Worldly wealth and honor will one day pass away. But the eternal wealth and the honor of being a child of God, of experiencing nothing but His goodness for the rest of eternity, that's something that endures. Don't miss what wisdom is saying in verse 19 with the contrast between fruit and precious metals. As long as plants are nurtured properly, their fruit is replenished and can be enjoyed season after season. However, once you mine all the precious metals out of the earth, that's it. The best you can do is hope that someone will leave you some of it as part of an inheritance. In a similar manner, as long as you tend to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it will continue to bear fruit in your life into eternity. And unlike gold or silver or precious gems, you can't inherit wisdom. So how do we actually obtain the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? After all, Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. They've received the Holy Spirit. Why does he have to pray for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit for them? Well, the first step is to surrender your life to Jesus. And I'm talking to two different groups of people here. The first one is the person that Mike read about in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural person who does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, including the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, simply because he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. God's wisdom is foolishness to someone lacking saving faith in Christ. And if that's you, there's hope. I encourage you not to leave today before talking to one of our elders, Chris and Gil, who you've seen up here, one of our deacons, the men who collected the offering, or someone in this congregation that you know is a strong Christian. Ask them about surrendering your life to Christ and how you can gain access to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's the first group. The second group are those of us who profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. And while I'd love to say that upon my profession of faith, I surrendered all of my life to God, he regularly shows me areas of my life that I'm holding back from him. And I need to surrender those to him too. And you do as well. Because in those areas of life that we refuse to give to God, that we refuse to surrender to Christ, we will not experience the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so, whether you're a Christian already and you need to surrender part of your life, or you're not and you need to surrender the whole of your life, the first step in obtaining the wisdom of the Spirit is to surrender your life to Jesus. The next thing is to ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I would love to say that Jerry Wade and I coordinated on the prayer and that I asked him to lead off by praying to the Holy Spirit. But I didn't, and I was thrilled that he did. The Holy Spirit is God. We can go to him like we go to the Father, and like we go to Jesus, and we can ask him for things. And to ask him for his wisdom is one of the things He loves to grant to us. So when the Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of salvation, He doesn't automatically give us His wisdom. Like Paul did to the Ephesians, we need to ask God to grant us that wisdom. And not just for ourselves. We also need to intercede for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of who they are, where they are, or what position they hold in society. It's one thing when individual Christians demonstrate the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They impact a small group of people, and while their impact is significant, it's very limited. It's another thing when a body of believers, such as us here at Ocean Park, corporately live out the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The sphere of influence is bigger, the impact is greater, but again, it is still limited. What is completely different is when Christ's church on earth decides to live out of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That is when this world is impacted for God's kingdom. And that's one reason why we here at Ocean Park pray for like-minded churches and for missionaries throughout the world. It's why we pray for three families every day. So ask for the Holy Spirit, not just for yourself, and not just for Ocean Park, but for the whole of Christ's church on earth. And finally, don't forget that wisdom and knowledge walk hand in hand. Wisdom, again, is the correct application of knowledge in a given situation. And the knowledge we need to apply the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is found right here in God's Word. You need to be in it. You need to be in it daily. You need to be in it often. You need to spend time soaking it in. You need to meditate on what you've read. You need to discuss it with others. And you need to apply what God's Word says. Because James cautions us, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So when you only hear the Word, you deceive yourselves. Surrendering, asking, and being in God's Word. Experiencing the value and the power of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is really that straightforward. So Proverbs 8, 1 through 21 tells us much about the Spirit of wisdom, who is the Holy Spirit. First, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is valuable. When we embrace the characteristics found in verses 6 through 11 that wisdom embraces, we become the kind of people we want to surround ourselves with. Why? Because that character is the character of Christ, which is infinitely valuable to those who have saving faith in Him. Second, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is powerful. It rules nations. And when we choose to fear God and live out the truths found in verses 12 through 16, it can rule our lives, our careers, our marriages, our families, all this and more in good and beneficial ways. And finally, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit is obtainable. It isn't something we can obtain through effort or skill, but it is something that can be received anywhere and by anyone. It's ours for the asking. All that's required is the sincere love of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom who gives it freely. Ask for it today for yourself, for Ocean Park, and for all of God's people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for who You are and what You've done. We thank You for Your Son who surrendered His life on the cross and who spilled His blood to pay a debt we owed and buy our freedom. not just to make us your slaves, but to make us your sons and daughters, to experience nothing but your goodness forever. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of wisdom. And as Paul prayed for Ephesus, I pray for Ocean Park, that you would fill us with your wisdom, that you would give us ears to hear it, minds to perceive it, and lives that act on it. I pray for the three ladies this week, that they would experience your wisdom, Holy Spirit, in magnificent and powerful ways. I pray for Addison Street Church. I pray, Lord, that even now, your Spirit would flow out on them, fill them with your wisdom, that they would impact their nation and or their community in Chicago for your kingdom. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters all throughout the world, whether persecuted or free, whether they meet hiddenly or openly. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would grant them wisdom. Wisdom to change their nations for your good. Lord, we thank you for the value that you've given us, more precious than any of the stones and any of the kings or kings' crowns of this world, more precious than our lives. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you give us that is powerful, that can transform lives, that can transform marriages, that can transform jobs, that can transform schools, that can transform the military. And Lord, we thank you that you are not a God who's distant and far off, who we can hear but we can never see, who is stingy and greedy with everything he owns. Instead, you are a God who is here, who is gracious and loving, who is generous, and who knows how to give us good gifts such as your wisdom. God, I pray that this would not be the end of our journey experiencing and learning more about the person of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as we seek Jesus and as we seek the Father, we would also seek the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, as Jerry said, we invite you into this church. We invite you into our lives. We know you dwell within us. But we pray that we would be willing to surrender our lives to you so that you can make us more like Jesus, the man, the person, the God of whom you testify. And we pray this all in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.